Welcome back. Crush A Lot Podcast presents 10-minute reviews. As always, my right-hand man, the new Dirt Diggler himself, Sir Loveday. Sir Loveday, how are you?
Feeling great. Well rested. Back a little tight, but you know, I'm rested for the day.
If you need anything, if you need anything from Friction Burn, let me know. I got some ointments for you. We're going to have a different type of review. We're not actually reviewing music or anything. We're not really doing a review. Our homie Chris Plates over at Strictly Hip Hop and Basketball just put out his one of his big projects, the Hip Hop March Madness. Let me get it right. It's Chris Plates presents Strictly Hip Hop, the album brackets, and pretty much is like mocking the duplicating the NCAA March Madness. And we have a lot of albums out there, West, South, North, East, and we need to fill it in to see what we think will be the number one. Now, we're going to preface this by saying we didn't make this list. We didn't come up with the brackets and the seating. That's all Chris. So shout out to Chris who put the thought and process to make this happen. So check out his podcast where he talks about why these albums are there and why they're seated there. It's a very controversial list. I think there's some omissions there, but the fact that you took time to do it, kudos to you. I think it's a great idea. So we're going to play along. So what we're going to do in this one, we're going to just pick one section. We're going to start with the East. We'll read off what those songs are, not songs, but albums. And then we'll try to break it down how far they would go to the championship game or semifinals, wherever that is, without killing each other. So any questions, Sir Loveday? You had the list.
Yes, of course.
What were your initial thoughts when you saw that list?
I was surprised. You could immediately get a sense of, all right, I think I know who Platy sees and who he's a fan of. When you notice some of the frequency of certain artists in certain brackets, you go, okay, I think he likes that guy a lot, or he must like this guy a lot, or, you know, maybe I'm getting his system off. But I looked at it and I was like, yeah, I love this sort of stuff. Why not? This is what, you know, we do all the time in the barbershop, on the corner, on the stoop. Let's have that discussion. What's better?
And let's not take it too serious, right? It's not, let's like do no it. One's the authority of this shit. Let's have some fun. So let's start with the top seed. And even this is right off the bat controversial in my eyes. We have Nas's Illmatic. And that's the number one seed. I'll do the top seed, you do the bottom seed. So the Illmatic, number one, and they face off against
It's Dark and Hell Is Hot. DMX classic. Crazy.
So right off the bat.
Yeah.
The number one in what is it? Number 16? What is it?
Number 16.
That's already tough, but it's not, depending on your era, if you like DMX. This is tough. Mm-hmm. They're both classic albums in my eyes for different reasons. They both came out in years apart from each other. So the landscape when DMX came in was already shifting with the Rough Rider movement. Swift Beats was as hot as hot can be. Mm-hmm. This one's not so tough for me. Might be so tough for me. I still think it's Illmatic. Moving on.
Yeah, easy.
The next round.
Agreed. Easy for me. Not even a thought. I looked at it. I was like, that was a good album. Classics, but Illmatic takes it.
Yeah. I think there's way more quotables on Illmatic, and he gets sampled so much from that, like scratches and stuff like that. Let's go right next to the next one. What is this? I can barely read this.
We got number 8th seed.
The 8th seed.
Yes.
What's that 2 seed? Let's go to the 2 seed.
You want to go to the 2 seed?
Yeah. Okay. 2 seed, this is Public Enemy. It takes a nation of millions to hold us back.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they're in the 2 seed. And they're going go ahead.
They're going against the number 15 seed, 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying.
Your thoughts on that? Because I could go into a rant right now.
I can't, again, this is, you know, it's, I think of it more time based, you know, when you are, where you are in your hip hop history and what you were listening to at certain times of your life. For me, as good of an album as Get Rich or Die Trying was, there's so many other New York East Coast rap albums that I would place above it that I don't even know how I made this list on that sense and that way of like for my personal ranking. But I can see how it can make the list because it is, you know, a huge selling album, a huge cultural shifting album, you know, a huge moment in hip hop that captured everybody's attention. Even if people ended up not liking 50, or even if, you know, the music didn't fit certain expectations, it was still a big, big, big album as far as the history of hip hop goes.
This is Shady Records, so like that. Big record. Yep. It sold like over 8 million, probably even more at this point.
Yeah, and, I believe it sold Diamond. I believe it was a 10 million seller.
And 50 Cent, if I like to say this or not, was king of New York at that point, at least holding it down as we transition into a new wave of a different generation of hip hop. I wouldn't put him in either of these lists, but I can understand why. I could definitely understand why, but I'm gonna hold my rant. No sound effects with this one. This is an easy one for me. This is Public Enemy. And it's not, it has nothing to do with 50. If you like that album, you're great. But the impact of that album, It Takes a Nation of Millions, is still resonating now and prevalent now. Get Rich or Die Trying is just a moment in time that just happens to be that. Yeah, it's Chuck D. I ain't going against Chuck D. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. I ain't doing that.
Yeah. Huge album, but I give it to number two. Chuck D takes this one. Public Enemy takes this one.
Yeah, now I gotta go. All right, number three, A Tribe Called Quest. Yes. Low End Theory versus, dude, this is tough.
Against the 14th seed, Black Star by Mos Def and Talib Kweli, or Black Star.
I'm gonna go right into what I think should happen here. This is a Black Star moving on. Not because I don't like Low End Theory. I love Low End Theory, but it's not my favorite of the Tribe Called Quest. And you're putting them against Mos Def and Talib Kweli, Black Star album, which for me is revolutionary in so many ways that doesn't even get discussed. And the lyrical one and two. Now, you look at it, if this Platy was trying to put duo MCs against each other, if that's what you're going for, like Tribe Called Quest, then lyrically, Mos Def and Talib Kweli destroy them. Like it's not even close. Now, I'm not saying that's also a generational divide, because hip hop at that point was lyrically intense. But yeah. Black Star, for me, I'll move him on. Low End Theory might get the win overall from other people, but not for me. Not against Black Star, no.
Yeah, it gets the win for me. Low End Theory takes that for me. As much as I love Mos Def and Kweli, Mos Def's been like my top MC for a long, long time. But Low End Theory takes that one for me because of how much it did for hip-hop across the board, and for how great that album is to this day. No, of course I'm right, but it's okay.
You're wrong.
It's okay. I know. You get into your little biases. It's all right.
You're wrong.
Low End Theory is ultimately a better album. A more important album.
That's absolutely outrageous.
Okay. Keep telling yourself that.
This is my...
Keep lying to yourself.
This is... what do they call it? The first round knockout? The higher...
Q-Tip. Q-Tip is one of the most important people on this entire list.
I never heard
of him. On an entire bracket.
I never heard of him. Ever heard of a guy called Fife?
Who? Of course we have.
Let's go right into the next one. We got Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt. We got Jay-Z, number 13, right. The Black Album, which is interesting because there's a lot of Jay-Z on here. So we're going by album. So in that regard, it makes sense. Reasonable Doubt, Black Album. And the Black Album. Wow. Reasonable Doubt number four. Okay, this one's
thinking about this one, huh?
Okay, and you know why I'm thinking about this. Please explain to the audience why this is hard to me.
This is particularly difficult for you because you don't have any love for Jay-Z on the real to real. You've always had shots for him and you've never been particularly a fan of his. So having to actually look at two albums that you probably don't really care for all that much and have to pick out which one is better is probably like, you know, a vegan having to look at two steaks and go, which steak is better?
Correct.
You don't want either one of them.
If you're going to have to, if you're forcing me to do this, I'm not entertaining it. The idea is, As much as I do rather enjoy the Black Album for what it gave me, it's not even in the same league as Reasonable Doubt. Reasonable Doubt was a tremendous debut. I can acknowledge that, and I think because it was so good, everything after that sucked in my eyes. And just Jay-Z as a person is a horrible human being anyway. I don't care how many feathers he gets out of jail. That man needs to do something for himself.
He needs some help. Anyway, now that we've gotten through the anti-Jay-Z hate rants fest, these two albums are great albums. Amazing. But you've got to give it, at least for me, I got to give it to Reasonable Doubt as a superior project, just off the strength of how much was being done on that one album from top to bottom, lyrically and production wise.
There's incredible. No way we're going to do this in 10 minutes. We're already over 10 minutes. It's not happening. This is going to be extended. Let's keep it pushing. We got another number four in here.
Yes.
So we have Paid in Full, Eric B. and Rakim, and this is going to be a tough one. They're up against?
They're up against Life After Death, the Notorious B.I.G. The Notorious B.I.G., ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, this is a stumper, and I like to see. I was hoping to get a little more. We might get this more in the next round. Oh no.
You don't know where you want to go.
I know where I stand. Go.
I know where I stand. Go. I'll tell you right now.
Go ahead.
For me, it's number 11 is with the upset. One of my few upsets in this round. It is Life After Death that takes this one. As much as I will play Paid in Full randomly all the time, probably some of the records once a week, but the album that I can definitely throw on anytime, a bunch of times, and I think has so much impact and so important and vital with such a moment, Life After Death.
I'm not mad at that answer because I'm not confident in my pick either way. I'm gonna go Paid in Full. I just enjoy that record a little more. I know the double CD is great. I know what it means for hip hop to have Biggie in that moment. I'm in Brooklyn, so I understand, but I think Paid in Full is one of those 80s era, golden era, the real golden era hip hop albums that just, out of all of them, still can hang with any catalog today, like in terms of bars and stuff like that. You can't say that for Run DMC or anything like that. Like, their lyrical style didn't age well for me. It was great at the time, and it's great as a building blocks in terms of inflections and rhyme cadence and stuff like that. They're great MCs. But looking to where MCing has evolved to, Rakim still could go toe to toe with anyone. So for me, it's Paid in Full for how visionary it was and how expertly crafted lyrically that album was for me. But I could go with Life After Death too. I wouldn't be mad at that either. So, you know, that's tough. It's big. You know, it's tough. Let's stay with Big. That's the first thing I noticed, and I didn't know exactly where to go. Number five, Only Built for Cuban Links,
versus
Raekwon the Chef, The Purple Tape, yes. Versus
Number 12, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
This is easy for me. I don't think it's easy.
It's so easy for me.
I'm a Wu-Tang fanatic. I should just show my biases and just do that. But I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Can I tell you why it's easy for me?
Absolutely, because it's difficult for me. Please convince me.
I'll tell you why it's super easy for me. Because at the end of the day, and I've said this for years, I say to anybody who brings it up, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill album is not a rap album. Sorry, I love her. She is a part of hip hop. She is a hip hop artist to her core, but this album is not a rap album. So it gets immediately passed over, and Only Built for Cuban Links takes that slot for me. No questions asked. That's it. Done.
But we're not going to, this is going to be,
nope.
This might be mad about, people might get mad that I say this, so I'm going to change my voice. I'll be right back.
Okay, so This is the only female MC on the East Coast. I don't even see, is there anything on the other ones?
Not that I saw.
That's something to think about. Like,
yes, I mean, again, when we talk, if we want to get into like the whole structure of the system and be like, yeah, there's some things that we feel might have been omitted that should have been in there. Like, yeah, maybe Black Rain should be in there. Queen Latifah's album was fire. You know, maybe Light as a Rock should be in there. That album was super fire. But we're not going to get into, you know, the omissions.
If Chris really wanted to fuck with me, he would have put Cuba Link versus Liquid Swords right there. And I would have never done this episode. So I'm with you. I'm Cuba Link because there's a good chance, and I'm foreshadowing, that Cuba Link is close or in the championship. It is that important of an album. That's my opinion. But I don't know. We'll see. Someone convinced me otherwise. Let me get back my voice.
All right. So, what are we missing here?
We got the 8th seed that we got to look at, and the 7th seed.
Oh, okay.
That we got to look at.
Well, we have Enter the Wu-Tang number 7.
Yes.
Versus the Blueprint Jay-Z. That's an interesting matchup too, but I actually don't think it's much of a... It's interesting, but I don't think it's even close.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cute. Like, it has, you know, it has marquee power.
It's. But... I think Chris, if he's trying to put two different fan base at each other for argument's sake, that's what you would do. Jay-Z Blueprint doesn't have come close to the quality, the importance, and the reverence of Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chamber. It just doesn't. Now, if you would have put Reasonable Doubt in there, it would have been might have been a little, even then, no. Wu-Tang Enter the 36 is one of the top three hip-hop albums of all time, at least in my opinion. I don't know if it's the best. I'm not prepared to say that. But over the Blueprint, no.
Yeah, Wu-Tang... Wu-Tang is that 36 Chambers takes it over.
There's not even really talk about that.
I'm a big Jay-Z fan.
I'm not. But the albums that you played, they put in here are the ones I do rock with from Jay-Z. So I'm not being a full hater. I think that's the whole bracket we did.
Not yet.
What are we missing?
Not yet. The 8th seed versus the 9th seed.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Well, I don't think this is tough, to tell you the truth, but it's an interesting... number 8, Ready to Die, Notorious B.I.G. versus... Yep.
Number 9, 3 Feet High and Rising by the great De La Soul.
Who don't get paid to do anything, apparently.
Apparently.
They don't got good parents to tell them don't do that deal.
Because record labels are jerks. And they figure out that once an old deal is set up and the new system is coming along, they just get to declare the way the new system goes and not actually have to arbitrate, not actually have to negotiate.
So
they just decide.
So you know what?
Yeah.
I got De La Soul. I got De La Soul. They need some love. Biggie's okay. Biggie will be okay. He has a whole day dedicated to him. De La Soul is just coming right back into the come up. De La Soul. I got De La Soul.
Fair enough. But... I'm not going to allow myself to be swayed by the emotions of the current times. Ready to Die was a better album, more important album, more powerful, more impactful, better lyrics, better beats, etc. Ready to Die moves on.
All right.
And that's one of those that could see itself going far, but it's got a really tough competitor in the next round.
Yeah, now we have different brackets. Now we have different brackets, so keeping track of this is going to be tough. So I'm going to go into the next round. I have Nas, number 1 seed. Versus De La Soul, the number 9th seed.
Right.
It's Nas, Illmatic, for me. I mean, what more do I have to say about Illmatic? My dude, the excuse that MCs in this age are young, so they don't know how to hip hop and how to rhyme and shit, it's a bullshit excuse. It really is. Because Nas was doing this in his teens, bro.
True.
In his teens, bro.
Mm-hmm.
He peaked in his teens, bro. Illmatic. Moving on to the next round. What do you got in that first round? What is this quarter? So not, this is the quarterfinals,
or semis, whichever.
Semis is the next one.
All right, there you go.
What do you got? You have Illmatic versus Ready to Die. This is a toughie.
Yep, Illmatic, Ready to Die. Very, very tough one, but not that tough. It's Ready to Die for me. As much as I love Illmatic, Illmatic's a great album. It's fantastic, start to finish. So is Ready to Die. It's impactful and important. So is Ready to Die. It's got great lyrics. So does Ready to Die. It's got great beats. So does Ready to Die. It's got great stories. So does Ready to Die.
Yo, they both got unique voices, distinguishable voices.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with the guy that I think is ultimately the better MC. Biggie.
Tupac.
Ready to Die.
I will also pre the record is that no Tupac album that on this list will ever go past where they were. I'm just pointing it out there. You can hate me all you want. This is what you wanted, Chris. Well, we're gonna give it to you, bro. We're gonna give it to you. I'm gonna go to the next one. I have the Purple Tape versus Reasonable Doubt. Once again, it's easily the Purple Tape. I love Reasonable Doubt. It is my favorite Jay-Z album. And after that, surprisingly, it's 444. But it's Cuban Link. It's so intricate. It's so well put together. The storytelling that's going on, the lexicon, the one-of-a-kind vocabulary, the beats. It shouldn't work, and it does work. And I like that people slept on it right off the gate, and then it grew and it grew and it grew because of word of mouth, and that was important. And the brilliant idea of making that tape purple, just as a business marketing plan, is also brilliant. Easily, Cuban Link moving on for me. You have Cuban Link versus Reasonable Doubt.
Yep, same thing. And I've got the opposite decision. It's going to Reasonable Doubt. It's also got incredible storytelling, incredible MC, and the great rapping, the great beats, the storytelling, the rhymes are incredible, the intricate lyricism, the way he told those stories and made you think about it, the way he uses the great wordplay and metaphors. And the fact is, compared to Cuban Lynx has more skippable interludes and nonsense in there that you don't need after you've listened to the album 5 to 10 times. You listen to that album a billion times like I have, and you get to the point where you don't need to hear somebody telling you about snakes and if these guys come out, how this, you don't need to hear that. You don't need to hear a lot of the stuff that's on that album. Whereas Reasonable Doubt, just nothing skippable after the 15th, 20th, 30th, 500th time. You still go back to it, and there's so many amazing, amazing, powerful, emotional stories. And they go beyond just the surface level of drug dealing storytelling rap. And it's actually hey, let's get into the personal.
Our people. That's
he actually gets into the emotional involvement that happens when you're out there selling, the reactions that you have, and the way that the relationships between you and your friends change, and the way that you deal with your family members, and how all of that stuff switches around and changes on how problematic it becomes.
You're gonna do a rap album on our friendship?
He did a great job.
Mr. Reasonable Jay-Z, doubt. Not me.
That's the one.
Absurd.
That's
I'm,
it.
I'm feverish.
Hey.
Let's move on because I need a new
coach.
Someone get
out. Let's get back to the voice. Here we go. I had Eric B and Rakim and Black Star. Shit.
Yeah.
You know what I noticed? Mos Def solo album not here either.
No, that's one of my omissions. I got a list. Listen,
that's a big omission.
I got a list of joints I wish was on here.
Black Star. For me, I got Black Star is moving on to the next round. Black Star is so underrated in the underground movement. Mos Def was a one-of-a-kind rapper. I really think it was a shame that he didn't really push it the way I thought he could have pushed it. He could have been the best MC of all time, in my opinion. I think he had that level of caliber of talent. And Talib Kweli, he's a strange bird, that guy. But together they make good music, and those beats like, from the first to the half of it, delivery. Come on, I will do the whole album for you right now. I love Paid in Full, love Rakim. That Black Star album is special. It's true hip hop at its core, and the wordplay, the bounce. I gotta move it on. So for me, Black Star.
Fair enough. For me, I've got Life After Death versus Low End Theory. And this is a very tough one. And both albums have some spots where you're like, ah, that's skippable. That's not really as interesting. So ultimately, I had to go with, you know, who's hitting harder on all aspects. And Biggie's hitting much harder as far as lyrics go, as far as MCing goes. So despite the incredibleness of Low End Theory, Life After Death takes that over Low End Theory.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. I'll move on to the next one. I got Wu-Tang, 36 Chamber versus Public Enemy. It Takes a Million. I like this matchup because I think they're both cut from the same cloth, but it's easily Enter the Wu-Tang. Too much originality, too much charisma, too much things that shouldn't work but do. I love the messaging of Public Enemy. I always have. I love the urgency that they had at that point. But Wu-Tang, 36 Chainz came in out of nowhere, and they really did own those 5 years. Like, the music they were producing those 5 years was second to none. And 36 Chambers introduced you to things that shouldn't work, like ODB and the charismatic Method Man. Kung Fu Flicks with 9 MCs and no choruses and little drum kicks that aren't even in the same typical drum patterns. It was just magnificent. So yeah, that's for me. You had 36 versus Public Enemy.
Yep, same matchup and same result. Give it to Wu-Tang. Just based on the fact that at the time these both came out, what was I listening to when they came out, and how hard was I bumping them and replaying them and wanted to tell everybody I heard about them? Yeah, Wu-Tang gets that. Nah, they were getting way stronger reactions out of me then and still now. So yeah, 36 Chambers.
Yeah. So now I'm down to the semis. If I could keep track of this, because I didn't write it down.
You got Illmatic.
I got Illmatic against Cuban Link.
Yep.
Oh, this is tough. I love Illmatic. It's in my top 5 albums of all time. But it's not Purple Tape. It's just not. It's Purple Tape, and it's just gonna be Purple Tape. Like I said, it's gonna be going for me from the Ice Cream to Wu Gambinos to Incarcerated Scarfaces to Glaciers of Ice to Heaven and Hell to Can It Be So Simple remix to the bonus track North Star to Glaciers to Verbal Intercourse with Nas. Like, it just doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop. It's just a relentless hit, and everybody spits it. Now, Cuban Link, I love Nas's, but this is Purple Tape.
Fair enough.
And you have,
and I've got Ready to Die.
Good choice.
Versus Reasonable Doubt.
Brooklyn. Your Brooklyn leanings are right there.
A very Brooklyn album right there. A very Brooklyn combination right there on that part of the bracket. And it's very, very tough. You know, two incredibly great albums. You know, all killer, no filler, as Sum 41 once said. Very, very dope. Hard to choose, but I'm going to have to go ultimately with Ready to Die. As much as I love Reasonable Doubt, I got to go with the one that I felt had a little bit of a harder impact on me at the moment. When I hear it and when I think about the quality of that music, it punches a little bit more. As great and as complex as Reasonable Doubt was, that added complexity might have dulled some of the hit and some of the impact, because people weren't quite ready to hear quite all of that or comprehend and understand all of that at one point. He was a very, very wordy. It was still his most wordy album for many, many years. But that's who I got there. Ready to Die is moving on.
I'm not mad at that. I love that album. I mean, it's tough. You know what? I don't even like this idea no more. I'm not posting this. It's getting ridiculous. I'm going to my last semifinals. Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chamber. No, this is not it. That's not what I meant to say, right? I got Black Star versus...
And 36 Chambers.
Against 36 Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit. I have such a soft spot for Black Star's album.
Mm-hmm. Clearly.
Because it deserves to go very far over Reasonable Doubt and all that.
Lies.
But this is 36 Chambers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I already explained why, but the other thing that's lost in this is how iconic that symbol is. It's like, I can't think of another hip-hop sign that makes me think. Like, you just got to put that in, you know, what you're getting. Maybe the rock, the diamond. But you have to actually see someone do it. It's different when putting it. You could sell a magazine with the strength of the logo.
Are you using their logo as props for their album?
For the music? I ran out of wonderful things to say. Yeah. I just did.
Fair enough.
I already encapsulated that. So, yes, I had to think of something else. So right now, if we're doing the math, I got in my, I guess, close to semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, where are we? Semifinals. Without looking at anything else, because we're at the last one, I have Cuban Link and Raekwon's Cuban Link and 36 Chambers in my next one. So let's go see what you have. Who's going to challenge Ready to Die?
And it's going to be between Life After Death and Enter the Wu-Tang. So this is
tough. Choose wisely.
Yeah, this one's not particularly all that tough for me, only because as good as the two albums are, I feel like Life After Death has more possible holes than Wu-Tang 36 Chambers does. Just from some of the skits and interludes and other stuff. So Wu-Tang being more...
Because Too Short's on the album?
No, because Too Short's a legend and he's incredible and we love him. But because Wu-Tang doesn't have as many holes as Life After Death has potential holes, I'm going to give that to Wu-Tang. So my final is Ready to Die versus 36 Chambers.
All right, well, let's go right into it then, right? I got Raekwon and I have 36 Chambers. I'm actually toss it up to you. What do you actually think I'm going to pick?
Oh, between Cuban Links and 36? That's a tough one. I mean, you like both a lot. For me, it's a toss-up. It could be either one. I would say probably the decision I think makes the most sense would probably be 36 Chambers.
Yeah, I'm going to go 36 Chambers. 36 Chambers advances for me. I love Cuban Link. It's up there as one of the greatest solo efforts. But Wu-Tang 36 Chambers, in terms of iconic songs like Cream, Mystery Chess Boxing, come to mind, Wu-Tang Clan Ain't Nothing to Fuck With, those songs are like legendary hip-hop songs. But the strength of the album is Bring the Ruckus, Tears, Protect Your Neck, Shame on the Clan in the Front. These are essentially like the meat of the album. And so and this is also has only one You God verse, so that also helps. Shout out to You God. Yeah, 36 Chambers, iconic. Everything about it's great. And Inspector Deck was the MVP of that album. Let's not get that. Right, what do you have? Ready to Die versus Enter the 36 Chamber. I have a feeling this is where we would not agree.
This is where we will definitely not agree.
Not because you want the, not because you don't want to, like, but this is
I just gotta be this real is the about line in the sand. Musically.
Yeah.
Yeah, musically what actually hits for me the strongest, and that's gonna be Ready to Die. As great as 36 Chambers is, and it's one of the greatest albums of all time, so is Ready to Die. And it just for me edges it out. Because other than, you know, the beats are both incredible, the emceeing is incredible, the storytelling, all that stuff is great. Although I think Big gets a little bit of a step ahead on the storytelling on that album. I think as far as emceeing goes, as a fan of like emceeing and lyricism and what guys are doing with their words, other than, you know, just the general enjoyment and love of everything that Wu-Tang was doing on that album, there's only a couple of spots that were knock back, fall out of your seat. Oh my God, what did he just do? And that was either like an Inspect verse or it was a Jizza verse. And a couple of Method Man moments. But for Big, he had so many moments on there that were just like, I can't believe he said that. This can't be. You're not allowed to say stuff like that on a rap album. You can't be that disrespectful. Did he just say he couldn't have possibly just said that he wants to? No, he couldn't. You can't say that. How do you say that? So he gets the nod there.
He also has the mainstream songs. You could argue Juicy's the greatest hip hop song of all time. You could argue that.
One of my least favorite songs on that album.
Me too. You got One More Chance. Yeah. Not the remix version, the original version.
The original version. It was great.
And once again, it's the meat of the album that's really good. Give Me the Loot, Warning, Unbelievable. No, Unbelievable is on there. You got The What.
Unbelievable.
With Method Man.
Things Done Changed. Some of my favorite records.
Yeah, so like, I'm going to have to put it on. Hold up, let me change my voice. I'm going through puberty right now. Hold up.
Yeah, so if you got Ready to Die, not the Shine, don't get Shine's album. He sounds like it. Don't get that. Ready to Die, I am not mad at that choice. It's a landmark, and that's why Brooklyn's the best place for hip hop. Fuck it. I said it, you fucking haters.
Yo, saying that, Crush A Lot Podcast presents 10-minute reviews. There's no 10 minutes here, so I might actually put this on the main cast. We're at the 40-something mark. Do us a favor, though. This is what Chris Pleiades is doing over at Strictly Hip Hop and Basketball. He's doing some great stuff over there with Dead and Hip Hop. Go check him out on social media, Chris Pleiades. You can find him at Twitter and all that stuff. I don't know if we're going to cover the rest of the brackets because we thought we were going to knock this out, and that's just the East. We still have the North and the South and the West and all the Tupac Kendrick love that I see on that side. And then I don't want to give those albums too much shine.
Yeah. And we got to talk about the omissions, too. We got to talk about what we wanted on that list.
So I'm going to wait till that Chris episode comes out to see the explanation of some of these things so we can present a more fuller thing, and we'll come back to it if that's what you want to do. Check us out right now. Crush A Lot Podcast presents 10-minute review, also our main one, Crush A Lot Podcast with the homie Kalina. So go do that. We're doing big things and we're pushing it, and we'll catch everyone on the next one. So love day as always.
Yes.
Fuck Jay-Z. Peace.
Peace.